Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all gathered in this Sunday morning. You're all very welcome. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, you too are welcome here to First Ralph Island. And if you're joining with us online currently on our YouTube channel, good morning to you. And it's good that you've decided to join with us here this morning at Ralph Island. I just have some short announcements to make in advance of our service this morning. So if you please bear with me, I'll be as quick as I can. Children and young people will leave as usual for Sunday school and children's church straight after the singing of the children's hymn. On Wednesday evening of this incoming week, midweek, Bible study and prayer meeting will be in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. And on Thursday evening, girls' brigade meeting at the normal times. And on Friday evening, the boys' brigade parents' evening will be in the church hall. And details of that will be available via your company captain or your officers and leaders. Next Sunday, the 17th of March, prayer meeting at 11 a.m. in the Morrison Room, followed by morning worship here at 11:30 a.m. And next Sunday afternoon, I encourage you to take a note of this particular special service. At 3:30, there will be a joint anniversary 30th anniversary BB and GB praise and thanksgiving service here in the church. And it would be a great encouragement to both companies if we all could make a special point of being here next Sunday afternoon to join with them as they celebrate this significant milestone in the life of both BB and GB here at First Rathfrey Island. Next Sunday evening, the 17th of March, a youth fellowship will be in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. And then the following week, just notes for your diary, Thursday the 21st of March, the Girls Brigade Parents' Evening will be in the Church Hall. And on Friday the 22nd of March, the next evening afterwards, we have special guests coming to the church here for the first time. They've never been here before. That is the Police Choir of Northern Ireland. So they'll be here on Friday for a special evening of praise. And more details will be available on that about that event in the local press, but also on our Facebook page and our WhatsApp groups. And it is with great sadness that I announce the passing of Mrs. Annie Dixon, late of Castlewellan Road, Rathfrey Island. And a funeral service will be held here on Tuesday at 2 p.m. in the church, followed by private burial in the adjoining graveyard. On your behalf and on behalf of this congregation here at First Rathfrey Island, I extend the sympathy of this congregation to Annie's family, to Brian, Marion, Alan, Bobby, Florence and Barbara, and the entire family circle at this their great time of significant loss. Thank you. Now I hand over to the Reverend Moody.
Good morning and welcome to our service of worship here in First Rathfrey Island. In Psalm 143 verse 8 we read these words: "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul, I lift up my soul." We come again this morning to worship a God whose love never fails, a God who is dependable, who is always with us. So let us come and stand and worship him as we sing our first hymn, "The Lord is King."
Thank you.
us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord, we gather to worship you this day because you are Lord of all. You are sovereign. Lord, your will shall be done. So we come to praise you. And Lord, as we praise you this morning, we confess at times, Lord, as we look around this world, we see so many things that we cannot understand. Horrors, Lord. But Lord, we still know behind everything, your plans will not fail. Your will shall be done. So Lord, we look to you and pray that you will help us keep focused on you in the middle of the storm. Forgive us when we do not. Forgive us for even times in the past week when we have turned our eyes from you, when we have focused on all our troubles, the troubles around us, instead of you, our King, the one who is able to help us through every storm. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us in and through the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us as we go forth into a new week. Help us, Lord, put you first in everything we do. Help us look to you as our King. Help us submit to you. Help us seek your will done. So, Lord, we can bring something of your blessing to those around us. Lord, I pray that you will use this service to enrich our lives, to challenge us, to refresh us, encourage us as we sing your praises, as we gather around your word. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, we'll be looking at two portions again. We'll be looking at Job. That's the portion that we'll be looking at for the children's talk at the Sunday school. And then we'll be going to Genesis 11, which, again, is the account of the Tower of Babel. So first, we'll be looking at Job. Job chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verse 1 to 5. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. Amen. And then turning to Genesis chapter 11, reading from verse 1 to 9. Let us continue to read God's word. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now if the children will come up to the front, I'm going to come down and speak to everyone from there. Well, good morning. How are you? How are you? So-so? Did you have a good morning? Did you do anything special this morning? Did you? Someone said no. What did you do special this morning? You forgot. Did anybody do anything special for anybody else? Uh-oh. You know, Mothering Sunday and things like that? No? You did anything nice? Maybe that'll come later, will it? Maybe. Hopefully. But anyway, today we're going to continue to look to the commandments. Exodus 20, we find them. And again, the next commandment we're looking at is this one. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. A very important commandment. Your name. Your name is very important, isn't it? Why is it important? Why is your name important? Anyone? From now on, you will have no name. Would that matter? Would it not? How is a teacher ever going to call on you if you're doing something wrong? Hey, you! And call your name. Your name identifies you, doesn't it? It identifies who you are, and the last part of your name also identifies who you're with, others that identify with you. But your name is so important. It's personal to you. Do you like it if someone makes fun of your name? Do you? Why not? Why not? Because it's your name, isn't it? It's your name. It belongs to you. It identifies you. So you don't like it when people make fun of your name. Because it's as if sometimes they're making fun of you. Not always. Sometimes it can be a bit of fun. But sometimes people can disrespect you as they disrespect your name. And it's the same with God's name. God's name, the Bible says, is very precious. Simply because it's His. God's name identifies God, our Creator, the all-powerful One. When you make fun of His name, when you misuse His name, you're making fun of Him. You're hurting Him. So God tells us in His commandment, that is not acceptable. He will not let that go. You should not use God's name without thinking very, very carefully. When do you use God's name? Yeah. Whenever you're praying, yes, you use God's name there. When else? When else can you use God's name? Do you ever use it when you're singing? Hopefully we do in church. We use God's name as we sing about Him. But it's important that we are very careful. We do not misuse it in other ways. In the Bible, we're told about a man called Job. Do you remember the Bible reading? All about Job. Job loved God, and God blessed him greatly. You heard from the Bible reading. I think at one point I said he had 5,000 oxygen, but it's 5,000 oxen. He had a lot of cattle and sheep. He was blessed by God, a large family. And we're told he loved God. He worshipped God continually. The Bible says he feared God. That doesn't mean he was always scared, but it meant he treated God with respect. He treated him and his name with care. He knew how he acted would bring honor or dishonor to God, to God's name, because Job identified with God. And it's the same for us. When you call yourself a Christian, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can either bring honor to God by the way you act or react, or dishonor. And that's the same for all of us. So we need to be very careful, because by our very actions or inaction, we can bring dishonor to God. But God loved Job, but God's enemy. Who's God's enemy? Yet? Satan. I need more than one hand getting up this morning. Come on. But wouldn't ask the question. But yes, it is Satan. Satan is God's enemy. And Satan was not happy with Job. And Satan said to God,
Job is only really good to you and worshipping you because of all this you've given him. Do you think that was true? Did Job only love God and worship God because God had blessed him? Do you think so? That's what Satan says. Satan, God's enemy, was saying, that's why. So Satan done something terrible. Satan caused it that all the good things that Job had, they were all gone. Job was left with absolutely nothing. Even his health was taken away from him. Absolutely devastating. What would Job do? Would Job blame God? Would he? He didn't. He still honored God. He would not curse God and say terrible things about him, even in this difficult time, because he knew God's name was so important. How he used it would either honor God or dishonor. His wife was still with him, and his wife saw the pain he was in. So do you know what the wife said? The wife said, curse God and die. Have done with him. Terrible. What would Job do? Would he listen to his wife? You know, it's often a very good policy for a husband to listen to his wife. Trouble otherwise. But in this case, it was a bad thing. Job refused. He would not curse God, but he loved God and honored him. Even in this terrible time, he praised his name. He would not misuse his name. And you know, we should do likewise. We should always praise God. In good times or bad times, be careful how we use his name. Be careful of the promises. You will notice, as all the congregation will notice, as you sing sometimes to God, we make promises. Be careful what you sing. Do not make promises in God's name that you're not willing to keep. That way, we all can misuse his name. Be careful that we live our lives for him. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, make sure you're seeking to live for him, so you're not calling yourself a Christian and misusing that name in vain. Well, Job would not misuse God's name. And eventually, he got everything back. And even more so, God continued to bless him as Job honored his name. And God promises to bless us, to bless you, as you live for him, as you seek to do what is right, as you seek to use his name correctly, as you make sure you do not break this commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God will look after you and help you. So be careful. You don't like it when people misuse your name. God does not like it when we misuse his name. We need to be very, very careful. His name is holy because it's his name and he is a holy God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know you, that we can talk with you. We can talk to you personally. We thank you for that. Lord, help us to keep your name holy. Help us be very careful that we do not misuse it in what we say and what we do as your people. Help us not to misuse your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to all stand and sing, and we're going to stand and sing this little chorus, Praise to the One.
now we're going to come before our Lord to give thanks to him, thanking him for how he has blessed us, thanking him for what he has done for us. And then we'll be dedicating the offering in that prayer. And then after that, I will bring some things before us to pray about, asking God's help. So let's pray and give thanks. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do bring thanks before you because you're our God. And Lord, you have been faithful to us. Lord, yet again, you have given us our daily bread, and more so. Lord, you have given us the wisdom we need in those difficult situations as we ask you for it. Lord, you have protected us, looked after us in the midst of difficult situations. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the blessings you pour upon us. And, Lord, we give you these, our offerings, as tokens of our thanks. And, Lord, we pray that you will take them and use them for your glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not sure how many of you get the prayer requests that come from the Assembly Buildings Church House, but they produce a list of prayer points that we can pray for on a weekly basis, and they're very good. If you go to the Presbyterian Church of Ireland website, you can sign up for them and you can receive them in your email or on your phone. Very good. So we're knowing what we're doing together as a church. And of course, as a church here in First for Friday, we get to help with the work in the church a little bit further afield. We get to pray for those things, and of course you also support those things through the United Appeal, which you have been given faithfully to over the years. And just a reminder that, again, to continue to do so. Again, I have some little slides here reminding us of some of the work that is going on and that we need to continue to pray for. For example, here we have Carlisle House, which is a residential substance and misuse treatment centre near the centre of Belfast. And that place cares for individuals over the age of 18 who need that particular care and support. Also for, here's Grey's Court. It's a move-on supported living project, again managed by Carlisle House, consisting of 7 one-bedroom flats. Again, it offers different help, short-term accommodation there too. And one of the things we're asked to pray for, particularly in the incoming week, is for these two places, practical places, helping in difficult situations. We're asked to give thanks to God for the high level of service the staff at each facility offers, and ask for wisdom for their respective team leaders as they need wisdom. So we'll be praying for that in a moment, and I would recommend you to be praying for these places continually as well. Also, praying for a couple of our missionaries, Derek and Jean French, who serve the denomination, serve us, as it were, over there in Spain at this time. And we're asked to pray that the message of the cross would be proclaimed clearly during the special events of the church over Easter. There's a lot going to be happening here and the surrounding area over Easter, but also we need to think of places like Spain, where Derek and Jean are involved. So pray for them as a family, and pray for them as the opportunities come. And we're also asked to remember the leadership which they're involved in over in Spain, in Bilbao International Church and Sarco. Forgive me for the pronunciation of those, but as they, those Christian assemblies and organizations, they are seeking to make decisions for the work over there in Spain that Derek and Jean are part of. We need to pray for them, that God will give them wisdom so they can be doing the work God calls them to as well. So in our prayer of intercession, I'll be bringing those things before the Lord, as well as the needs of our own church and people here too. So let's come before the Lord and let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this amazing privilege of bringing our prayers before you, not just our own needs, but Lord, the needs of others. So Lord, help us to do so faithfully. Lord, we thank you for these places, Lord, that are there, that have been set up to help those in difficult situations, for Carlisle House and for Gray's Court. We thank you, Lord, for the staff that are there, for those people that are seeking to organize and look after the work there. Lord, we thank you for them and pray that you will continue to give them the wisdom they need, Lord, just in what needs to be done and how they can be a help to those that come before them, those who are in need. Lord, bless them and cause them to be a blessing there. Lord, we thank you for Derek and Jean French, for the service they have been giving you for so many years. Lord, for the work that they have been involved with in Spain, for those they have been working with. Lord, we thank you for those opportunities. And Lord, we pray that as it comes to Easter, you will use the opportunities they have to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, and for the organizations they're involved with, Lord, I pray that you'll bless them. Give them wisdom as they continue to look for the way forward, as they continue to look for new team members. Lord, bless them and bring others around them so they can do the work that you've called them to. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have allowed us to do here and first in the surrounding areas. Lord, we thank you for the personnel, the people with the different gifts and abilities you've raised up to help in those different activities. Lord, that are more than activities, they're work for your kingdom. So Lord, we thank you for each person that is involved. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to give them the wisdom that's needed, the abilities that are needed to serve you. And Lord, we thank you especially for our Boys Brigade, as Lord, there will be the display this Friday evening. I thank you for the children, the young ones that come. And Lord, I thank you for the faithful leaders, Lord, and for what they have been doing and how they have been pouring themselves out for you and for those boys, seeking to show the reality of you in the way they live and through the teaching of your word. And Lord, we thank you for our Girls Brigade Company as well, for the faithful leaders that have been working there, for the effect that they have had on the young people that come. And we pray that that will continue. Lord, as we look together at the joint GB and BB 30th anniversary service this Sunday, Lord, we thank you again for all those leaders over the years who have poured themselves out for the young people from first and from further afield around Rough Island and, Lord, even elsewhere. We thank you for the commitment they have. And, Lord, I pray you will continue to use these organizations for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I pray that you will continue to use each one here. Lord, there's so many things done, sometimes by so few. But Lord, I thank you for all the work that your people here have been doing. And I pray you'll continue to bless them. Lord, as we come before you, I also pray for those who grieve. Lord, I pray especially for the family of Annie Dixon today. Lord, I pray that you will help them in this difficult time. Lord, just be close at hand. Give the comfort that's needed, Lord, today and in the days ahead as they mourn over one that they have lost, one that had such a big influence in their lives and the lives of many others, Lord, in this area. Lord, I pray that you will help them. Lord, for others who are continuing to grieve over the loss of loved ones, Lord, I pray you'll just surround them too with your love. Lord, just guide others to their side who will continue to be able to help them as well. Lord, those today who are going through different treatments, I pray you will help them. Lord, just give them the strength they need to, Lord, take the treatment that's been given. And Lord, use that treatment, Lord, to bring healing, we pray. Lord, I pray for all those here poorly from first at this time, those who would love to be here but cannot, I pray you'll place your healing hand upon them. Help them know your presence. Lord, to each one that is watching live stream or perhaps later on CD, Lord, I pray you'll bring blessing there as well, bring strength and help that's needed. And Lord, I pray you'll continue to direct us as your people here in first, so we can bring the help, the blessing, so we can bring your great hope, the gospel, to those around us. Continue to lead us in doing this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to continue to praise our God as we sing In Christ Alone. It has been estimated that there are over 6,900 living languages in the world today. I wonder how many of those 6,900 you can communicate in. I can just about communicate in one. Sometimes I have trouble even with that. But there are many people in the world then that we would find it difficult to communicate with. We would simply not be able to understand, and they would not be able to understand us. But imagine if there was only one. Imagine if we could talk to each other and understanding exactly what everyone was trying to say. We could achieve so much, couldn't we? Things would be so much easier if we could always understand everybody else. Well, apparently not, as we see in Genesis chapter 11. We find at this stage of history, people were speaking the same language. They used the same words. We would think it would be a recipe for success. We would expect amazing things from these people as they worked together, as they got on together, serving God, their Creator. But we quickly find that's not the case. We see signs of man's greatest problem emerging once again, just as it had in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, with their children, and just as we've seen last week at the time of Noah. Sin raises its ugly head very quickly. We find a little phrase here saying that the men moved eastward. Often when the Bible talks about moving east, it talks about leaving God's land of blessing, heading towards a land where their greatest efforts will end in ruin. And that's what we're about to find here. The people of God move eastward, and they find a plain, and they decide, we're going to settle down. We are going to settle down here in this plain. Why not? Well, why not indeed? It seems they were all choosing to settle down, but God's word must have been still echoing in their ears. From Genesis 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And just the next couple of chapters over, we find the people of earth have decided, no, we're not going to fill the earth. We're going to settle down right here because that's what we want. They are not going to multiply, to team over the earth, to swarm over it and fill it. They'll settle down, going directly against God's command, a command which they would have known. They wouldn't have forgot it. They would have remembered what God had said, but they purposely decided to rebel against it. Sin raising its ugly head again. And we see more of that problem here. At first glance, it seems great as we read down through this chapter. A great building project. Why not? They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. An impressive construction plan. This should be no problem, as they had the skills that God had given them. They had the resources all around them, and they could understand each other. Should be no problem at all working together, getting the job done. We see it tells us in building this city and tower, what they want, well, part of it is they want to make a name for themselves. They want to stand out. People will look at us, they think, and say, wow, look what they did. Look what they were able to achieve. People will remember them because of their great achievement. And of course, they also go on to boast here quite clearly in the next verse, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. They are doing this so they will not be, in their terms, scattered over the face of the earth. But hold on, isn't that what God said he wanted? He wanted them to fill, to swarm the whole earth. Here they are saying one of the reasons to build this great building is to keep them together so they will not do exactly as God says. You see, at first glance it may seem an amazing thing. We're always told to work together, aren't we? From a very young age, working together, getting things done, make plans. It's good to make plans. If you don't make plans, well, plans, they say that you plan to fail. It's foolish not to make plans, and we're always encouraged to unite. But again, as we look at this, where is God? Where is God, even in their speech? There we see, come let us, let us. They are starting to completely exclude God, to abandon him completely. Having no time for God, they think they can do it by themselves. And again, instead of bringing honor and glory to God, what are they all about? They're all about self-exaltation, all about doing things for themselves. You know, sometimes it's a natural desire we have to make a name for ourselves. We want others to think well of us. But these people had completely abandoned God and were thinking just about themselves. You know, we can at times want to be the center of the limelight, can't we? We can crave, want others to make so much of us. But as God's people, what are we called to do? The Shorter Catechism reminds us that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, not to try and glorify ourselves and enjoy ourselves forever. We are called to seek to lift his name high with our lives. But that's not what these people wanted. They were turning their back on their Creator, the one who had saved them, had given them life. They wanted nothing more to do with him. They wanted people to look to them and think they were great because of what they had done. And what about wanting a bit of security? That's not a bad thing, is it? We all want a little bit of security in our lives. We want something that gives us some kind of encouragement that no matter what's going on, will we still have this we can depend on? Here the people of God were thinking if they were all together in one place, they would look after each other and it would be great. But of course, by doing so, they were disobeying God. They were in complete rebellion against the God who created them. They were shouting loud and clear as they laid the bricks of this city, of this tower, that they wanted nothing to do with God, that they wanted simply to live their lives for themselves. They didn't need God. They could get by themselves. That's what they were thinking as they built this city, as they built this tower into the heavens. God was of no use anymore. And of course, it's not the same today for many. God is being totally pushed out of everything in society. People are living their lives for themselves, living how they see fit, with no regard to the direction of their Creator. The last line of Algernon Charles Swinburne's poem, Hymn of Man, says this. It says, "Glory to man in the highest, for man is the master of all things." And that's what people today, it's as if they're singing that line in the way they live, in their priorities, what they do. Hundreds, thousands of people are flocking away from churches every month because they see no need for God in their lives. God is not relevant to them. They believe they can get by with their own abilities and talents. They don't need God, or so they think. So God is being left out. And of course, we do live in a world today where people are absolutely obsessed with trying to make a name for themselves, trying to get those likes on social media so people are listening to them, watching them. Look at the reality shows that just seem to saturate our TV screens. So many people coming and doing so many things to get some sort of fame, recognition, self-exaltation. Again, read, if you take away, read at the Guinness Book of Records. And if you see what some people are willing to do sometimes just to make a name for themselves. For example, Matthew Henshaw from Australia, he's in it. You'll find his name because he has been able to hold a sack of potatoes for 5 seconds on the end of a sword that he managed to swallow. What a talent. What an ability. But it got his name there. And people crave that, don't they? We all like people to think well of ourselves at times, but sometimes we can start to push it. We can start to live for it. That's what we want. More people to recognize us, to lift us up. We want to make a name for ourselves, just like the people did at this time. And of course, unfortunately, God's laws today can be completely ridiculed, abandoned by many for what people think is a better way of life. You only have to look at a newspaper and see it's full of stories glamorizing the disobedience of God's commands. So many stories saying what God has said in his word is an abomination. And what used to be thought of as an abomination is wrong is now right. It's completely flipped. People wanting to go their own way instead of God's way. And that's what we see in these verses. That's what we see here in the building of this great city, this Tower of Babel. But we also see people are doing all they can to build this tower, but then God acts. We read, it says here, God comes down. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. Now, sometimes the irony in Scripture is very easy to see, and here's a little bit of irony. It is not as if God could not see the city and the tower from heaven, or that he actually came down to see the city. He is spirit after all. But the absurdity of what man is trying to do here is highlighted by this language. The people think that what they have done is so amazing. It shows their greatness, building this great city with this great tower, that they are said here will go right up to heaven. But it tells us it is so small and insignificant that God comes down to see it. It is so small, the creator of the heavens and the earth hardly takes note of it. He has to come down, so insignificant. You know, at times what we think is incredible, when viewed by an all-powerful creator God, can actually be next to nothing. Isaiah 40:22 tells us this. It says, he sits enthroned. This is about our God. He is the one who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. Some of the things we elevate and think are amazing can be nothing compared to our Almighty God. Human beings are great. We can do amazing things, can't we? Well, many of you can do far more amazing things than I can, but you all have skills and abilities. We have to remember why we have them. God has given us them. God has given us them. And we can only use them because God has given us the very breath we have in our bodies. We need to take at times more time focusing on our God, reminding ourselves how big he is, how great he is, and not simply looking at ourselves and thinking how great we are. We're told here in verse 6 that God is concerned when he sees what people are doing. Why is he concerned? Is God concerned for himself? He is the all-powerful, sovereign God. He knows the wickedness of the human heart. He knows what pain people can cause themselves and others when they work together as one. He knows the pain it can cause people when they do have their will done instead of God's. He can see the end picture, the suffering that we can bring upon ourselves when we seek to do our own thing. You know, man working together without God at the center spells disaster. Not for God, but for man, for humankind. When we start to leave God out of things, we may think that's great, but we end up with disaster. And you can see that so clearly in our society today. As people continually turn away from God, you can see the end product at times. Sorry. Where God is not at the center, then misery will reign. When God is removed, when God is not king of our lives, when God is not given his rightful place, then misery starts to reign in our world, in our community, in our lives, if God is not the center. Misery will reign instead. So because of what God sees, because of what he sees will happen if things are allowed to continue, if people can continue to do what they want when they want, looking to themselves instead of God, that will end in misery. So God acts. We're told, it says, mankind has said, come let us. Now God says, come let us. Go down and confuse their language. Humankind had acted, now God acts. And when God acts, what human beings try to do, it is nothing. It is of nothing. God comes down and confuses their very language. And when he does, everything stops. All mankind's plans just come to a halt. The great city, the great tower they built, does nothing for them against God when he decides to act. Can you imagine the confusion at that time? One minute they're all able to understand each other, then the next they cannot. Perhaps they're talking about how strong the walls of the city are, how big the tower is getting, when suddenly that confusion hits. Noises are coming out of people's mouths that make no sense at all. Utter confusion. The city and tower that was to be a testimony to their greatness has to stop. They can no longer work on it together. These people, they tried to build a city so they would not be scattered. But what are we told here? From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. They did all they could to go against God. They did all they could so they would not obey him. But in the end, God had his way anyway. What they were trying to stop happened because God is our sovereign God. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Well, we're told here God causes the city to have a name, Babel, which means confusion. As when sometimes we would say someone is just babbling. Confusion, that was the name that was given to the city. Man's efforts are futile before a sovereign, all-powerful God. He stops them in their tracks. In the light of this, we are reminded that God must be the center of our lives. Living for yourself, neglecting God, trying to make a name for yourself without God is not only dangerous, but it's futile, meaningless, foolish. God must be at the very center of your life, at the center of all you do, so God can bless you and cause you to be a blessing to others. Psalm 127 verse 1 reminds us, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Make sure you have not abandoned your God. You have not turned away from him, seeking simply what you want instead of the will of God. Make sure God is center to your life. Make sure you have submitted to him. Make sure you are living for him. That everything you do comes from God being first in your life. As you've committed your life to him through trusting in Christ, then going out living for him. Everything we do as Christians must stem from God being first. Must stem from that desire to put God first, to bring glory and honor to his name. If there's something in your life which is not, then you need to look at that, confess it, turn from it, so you're living for God. Because God does want the best for you. Never forget that. God wants you to have life to the full. You will not have life to the full if you seek to go your own way, do your own thing. The Bible repeatedly tells us you will experience that life to the full as you submit to God through trusting in Christ and seek him center of your life every moment. When you do that, God will bless you and God will cause you to be a blessing to those around you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us for those times when we have abandoned you, when we have sought to do our own thing instead of you going your way, when we have sought to exalt ourselves instead of exalting you, our Creator God. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we understand the talents, the gifts we have are from you. The very breath we have is from you. So, Lord, help us use them for you. Help us to submit to you day by day. Help us to commit our lives to you. All that we do for you, our God, seeking to bring you glory and honor. Lord, help us to keep you center. And as we do so, Lord, help us experience that life to the full that you offer through Christ. And Lord, help us to go out and not be a hindrance to those around us. Help us not to go out hurting those around us. But help us to go out being a blessing to others, as we are not seeking to live for ourselves, our own will, but we're seeking your will to be done, our King. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we stand to sing our final hymn, When the Trumpet of the Lord. And now, may the love of the Father enfold us, the wisdom of the Son enlighten us, and may the fire of the Spirit kindle us, and may the blessing of the Lord God come down upon us and remain with us now and always. Amen.